Your attention to the sixth chapter of the book of John, and in the sixth chapter of the book of John, our Lord speaks on the bread of life. And when he had finished his discourse, in verse 60, the record says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And I think we all need to recognize that people many times are still saying that the sayings of Jesus are hard. And so many of them, after they heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Then on down in verse 66, we see that many of his disciples turned and went back and walked with him no more. The record says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walk no more with him. And that's what we want to talk about. They walk no more with him. You know, the reason they didn't walk anymore with him was because of their lack of faith. And just as it was then, so it is now. Many disciples of the Lord, many start out to follow the Lord. They obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are faithful for a while. And then in time, just as these disciples heard Jesus speak some things that they did not agree with, they went back and walked no more. And many times disciples today, when they hear what Jesus has to say in his fullness, then they disagree and they go back and they walk no more. Now, as we begin to look at the church, we see that there's too large of a fallout. I read one statement where somebody had said, every 7 years we lose, or in a seven-year period, we lose 50% of the people that we baptize. 50% of the people fall away. And I sometimes think that even the figure is higher than that. It would vary from congregation to congregation and how much effort is really put forth with new converts to try to stabilize them. But there's a great fallout. Many people go back and they walk with Jesus no more. And you know, we need to stop and evaluate this situation. We need to ask why this happens. And as we study the lesson tonight, we're going to study it by asking three questions. Can one fall away? And then we're going to look at the symptoms of falling away. And then we're going to talk about the preventions of falling away. Things that will prevent us from falling away. First, we'd ask the question, can one fall away? And, of course, we know the denominational answer is, no, you can't fall away. Many people teach that once saved, always saved. But if one cannot fall away and lose his faith, then why all of the warnings? As we begin to read the New Testament, we read warning after warning after warning that we can fall away. Peter, he warns us about the devil. And I think we all need to take heed to this warning. In 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so we need to recognize then that the old devil is out there. He's busy. Now let's look at this ninth verse. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And so he tells us to resist the devil. Resist him steadfast in the faith. And that's what all of us have to do. We have to be well grounded in the faith that we might be able to resist him when he comes. Because he is going to come. And the Apostle Paul says, as he wrote to the Ephesians, that we are not to give place to the old devil. Notice there in verse 27 of Ephesians 4, he says, neither give place to the devil. Now, these scriptures apply just as much to you and me here in the 20th century as they did in the first century. These truths are truths all the way through this age. The devil is a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. We must resist him steadfastly in the faith. We must not give any place to the devil. Now, if we give any place to the devil, if you give the devil an inch, I'll tell you the kind of fellow the devil is. He'll take a mile. And we've all heard of that expression talking about human beings. Give them an inch and they'll take a mile. But I'll tell you, the devil, he'll take his mile, and if you don't watch him, he'll take 10 miles on top of that. And so that's the reason we need the warning. We need to recognize that he has to be resisted. And James, of course, warns that we need to resist the devil in the fourth chapter of the book of James and verse 7, when he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, if there was not the possibility that we could fall away, then we would not have all of these warnings and we would not have all of these passages. The Apostle Paul recognized that he himself could become a castaway. He said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now that has to be constantly on the minds of every Christian, that there's a possibility that I could be lost. And I have to keep that on my mind as a preacher, as Paul was a preacher. You know, it's a fearful thing to preach. And the longer I preach, the older I get, the more I preach the Word of God, the more fearful it becomes to me. Because I began to recognize that it doesn't take much and much ignorance on my part to lead a lot of people astray. Just as we took the time this morning to deal with a very vital subject. This is not a flippant subject. This is not something that we can take two sides of the issue. There is a truth here. And if I have error, what do? I lead people. I can lead hundreds of people into error. Wherever my influence is, then I can influence many, many people to do wrong. And you as a Christian, in your sphere of influence, you can lead many people wrong. And so what do we have to keep in mind? There is always the danger of after we have helped others, we ourselves can be lost. We can make shipwreck of our faith, as the Apostle Paul said, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and about verse 18, he says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Then he says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So Paul points out, it is possible for one to make shipwreck of his faith. It is possible for one to err and turn from the truth. James said in the first chapter of the book of James, and looking down to about verse the fifth chapter, and looking down now, if you will, to about verses 19 and 20, when he says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. Showing then, any of us can err from the truth. You know, whenever we begin to say, well, now, I never err from the truth. Now, I don't want to err from the truth. But it is possible for a man to err from the truth. And I need to recognize that that can happen to me just as it happens to others. Now, we can see then from these truths that it is possible for one to fall away. It is possible to apostatize. It is possible to turn back and walk with Jesus no more. Now, the great tragedy of falling away. Now, you put yourself in the shoes of a fellow that falls away. It could happen to any of us. But you think about it. Now, we've served the Lord, many of us, for many years. We've assembled with the saints week in and week out. We have been in fellowship with God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. We have constantly tried to do our duty. When we recognize we sin, we repented of the sin and asked God to forgive us, and made every effort to constantly stay in His fellowship, and then finally turn our back on God, on Christ, and walk with Him no more, and then, of course, we're come out of fellowship with God. Now, that's a terrible thought, to be out of fellowship with God. And Peter, of course, would describe this condition as we would turn to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and reading in about verse 12, he says, "The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Think about it. When we turn from Christ to walk with Him no more, then the face of the Lord is against us. Now think about having to go one day without the Lord. But think about going weeks and months and years without the Lord. The tragedy of apostasy is that one is without fellowship with God, and not only that, but he is without fellowship of his brethren. Brethren that have been a stay and a help and strength, now he's turned from the Lord and he turns from his brethren, and he not only is out of fellowship with God, but he is out of fellowship with his brethren. Now let me just establish the fact, of course, that our sins cut us off from God, like in Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2 when he says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." So I think you can see how tragic it is for one to apostatize, for one to turn from Jesus and walk with him no more. But let's look at some of the symptoms of falling. You know, every action I take and every action you take originates in the heart and comes from the heart. And so, as we would go back in the Old Testament, in the 4th chapter of the book of Proverbs in verse 23, the writer would say, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Everything I do comes from the heart. And so, just as a headache is a symptom many times of a deeper problem, so the things that brethren see in one who is falling away, they are telltale signs of what is happening in the heart. And you know, all of us, each Christian, we must examine ourselves and see the danger ourselves. We can see whether or not we're falling away and have the symptoms of one falling away. And Paul tells us that as he writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13 and 5, when he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Now I need to examine myself. You know, many times here are the symptoms. We continue to worship, but our heart's not in it. Now that's one of the first symptoms. People continuing to come to the services, but there's no joy in the service. The heart is not here. The mind is somewhere else. That's where the heart is all the time. It's drudgery. You wonder when I'm going to quit. You just are waiting for Bill to come around and count the classes. So the class will be over. The worship will be over. You're here in body, but you're not here in heart. And then we continue to give, but grudgingly. Oh, you begin to gripe. I began to think, well, the elders could better spend the money. And, oh, I'm giving that, and I really don't know why I could spend that on something I want. Still giving, but grudging has set in. We continue to listen to the preacher, but with an attitude to find fault of what's being said. Now, brethren, these are symptoms of falling away. They can affect me. They can affect you. Of course, the devil. That's the reason I pointed out in the beginning, that we are to resist the devil. Don't give him place. And the devil will make you believe that what you're doing, that's the right thing. When you have these attitudes, when you have all of these bad attitudes, even though you're still in worship, it's drudgery. You don't like anything that's going on, but you're just still going through the acts. Brethren, we need to examine ourselves. We're on the road to go out the door and to apostatize when this happens to us. And we need to recognize this. We continue to talk occasionally on the job to aliens that happen to us. We're in danger. Now I'll tell you, when we go through that process, we ourselves know that's happening to us. But it won't be long until our actions will begin to show to others. It won't be long till any discerning brother will be able to recognize, I've got problems. Here are the symptoms. The symptoms are here. We began to miss midweek Bible study. We began to miss the Sunday morning Bible study. We just get here for the worship. We began to miss the Sunday night worship. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about symptoms now that brethren can see. First, the problem was within the heart. If we had truly examined, we could have seen what was happening. When the drudgery set in and when we began to give with grudging and then maybe we began to slack off on our giving and we began to be filled with a lot of fault finding, and then finally we just began to show up on Sunday morning. Then the brethren began to see, what? Brother so-and-so's got trouble. He's got trouble. And then we don't study the Bible as we once did. When we come to class, we don't have our lesson. We seldom visit the sick, the shut-ins, or have any concern for them. We cut back on our giving, or we don't give it all, and that becomes evident, at least to the leadership. And if nobody else, it becomes evident many times to the treasurer, not that he's there just looking and finding fault or trying to judge anybody, but it's just evident. Here's Brother so-and-so, he's been so good all through the years, and the first thing you know he hadn't lost his job, he hadn't done anything, but it's evident he's not carrying his end of the load anymore. Our symptoms now begin to show. People begin to know that I've got trouble. I am on the road to apostasy. We began to find fault with the elders. Then we began to find fault with everything that the preacher says. And then our job becomes more important than the work of the Lord. That's the most important thing, to get that job and to get to the job and get that work done when it has not been that important in days gone by. And then it comes to the place where we don't attend gospel meetings anymore. These are the symptoms. These are things that happen to us. We become very disturbed when meetings conflict with our social and business appointments. And brethren, we need to recognize that these are the symptoms of heart disease. And if we don't make the correction, it won't be long until we will apostatize. I have seen people in my day follow this route time after time. Now you may say, it won't happen to me. It can happen, brethren, to any of us. And we need to recognize that. And we need to see the symptoms in the very beginning. Before we began to show the symptoms to our brethren, we know they're there. And when I know that I've got the symptoms, then I had better begin to exercise the cure and get the cure before I began to manifest the symptoms to others. And if I get far enough down the road where others began to see the symptoms, many times, brethren, there is no turning back. And I find myself one day walking with Jesus no more. Now, let us look at some of the causes. What are some of the causes of falling away? Underneath all of it, as I've already called to your attention, is the devil. Anything that we could name that would cause problems, of course, the old devil is right there. He's the underlying cause. Now, the devil, he aims at our weak points and uses as many of them as he possibly can, or he aims at wherever my weak points are, he's going to hit me there. And he's going to use these weak points, if he possibly can, to bring me back in the world and to bring me out of fellowship with God. Now the devil is wise. He knows where my weaknesses are. That's what he's going to play on. He's not going to go after my strong points. He's going to go after my weak points. And when he finds I've got a real weakness, and that whenever the temptation is put before me, I just fall before that weakness and fall into sin over and over, well, what's he going to do? Well, he's going to put forth a double effort to see that I am tempted over and over where that weak point is. And I'll tell you something else, evil companionship. The Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the Corinthians, said in the 15th chapter and verse 33, he says, "Be not deceived." Now that's the first lesson all of us had better get. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's a young man that's 22 years old down here in the Bullitt County Jail. He is from Ball County. Brother Dave and I have been visiting him. We went to see him this afternoon. His mother is a member of the church over in Danville, and the Danville elders wrote us to go see the young man. He is not a Christian. He was caught here in our county trafficking in drugs. He got a 90-day sentence. He's got about 60 more days. He's studying his Bible. He has become interested in his salvation. And we're trying to do what we can to aid and to help him. But Brother Dave said to him the other day when we visited, he said to him, "Now, if you'll obey the gospel, it'll really make your friends happy." And he said to Brother Dave, "The reason I'm here is because of my friends." That's where evil companionship will get you. And I'll tell you, it won't just get that young man. It'll get any young man or any young woman. You might say, "Oh, it won't happen to me." But this is the reason the Apostle Paul said, "Be not deceived. The wrong kind of companionship can get any of us in trouble." And this is the reason many times we fall away. It's because of evil companionship. And then weakness toward pleasure. Many become too busy with the pleasures and the cares of this world to be Christians. It's fine to have pleasure, and we need to have a good time. But there is a time and place for everything, and everything can be overdone. And many people become too caught up in the things of this world, and these are the things that carry them back in the world. And Jesus said this. When you go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and reading about 20 through 22, he says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended." And then he says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Then in the fourth chapter of the book of Mark, and reading on down to about verse 19, in that fourth chapter, if I remember correctly, as he describes the cares of the world and this among the thorns, this is what he says about it. Mark does. "The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches," notice, "and the lust of other things choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." So here he points out the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things. These things enter in. These are the things that cause us to fall and go back into the world and walk with Jesus no more. And then many times, the inability to withstand persecution. Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." But going back again to the 13th chapter of Matthew, when he talks about those that receive the seed in the stony places, "The same is he that heareth the word," and then he says, "and anon with joy receiveth it," and then verse 21, "yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." So persecution is going to come. Trials are going to come over the word. That's what Jesus said. And many people are not able to withstand the persecution. This is the reason many fall away. Now, what will prevent our falling away? Well, Christians must be careful to help one another. That'll be one of the great things that'll keep any of us from falling away, is for all of us to look out for one another, to help one another. The apostle said, as he wrote in the Thessalonian letter in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded or the faint-hearted," is the idea. "Support the weak, be patient toward all men." We are indeed in need of help from one another. Go to the Galatian letter. In the 6th chapter, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." A responsibility to one another, to help one another. And when we see one another stepping out of line, when we see the symptoms, then that's when we ought to move in and help one another. When a brother begins to miss the services, when he begins to miss on Wednesday night or on Sunday night, oh, don't just say, "Well, now that's the elder's duty." It is their duty. But don't just think that you have no duty. You do. Every one of us have a duty to one another along these lines. And when we see we begin to slip, when we see a brother begins to slip, then that's the time something needs to be done. That's the time we need to call up the brother and say, "I missed you Wednesday night. Where were you?" You see. And maybe you might be the only one that first time he missed that even maybe recognized that he was not there. It might be a week or two before somebody else recognized, "Well, brother so-and-so wasn't here, was he?" Because we all many times miss seeing somebody in a congregation this large. But when we know definitely that a brother's not here, then we need to recognize a responsibility. And as we go back to the Roman letter, in the 15th chapter in the first verse, Paul said, "We then that are stronger ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves," showing a responsibility to one another. And then brotherly love will help prevent falling away. The writer of the Hebrew letter tells us in the 13th chapter of that book, and in verse 1, he says, "Let awareness that as Christians, there's always the possibility that I can fall." I need to be aware of that. I need to recognize that I can fall like anybody else. The Apostle Paul said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 12, he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I need to recognize I can fall and be aware of the fact that I can fall. I need to constantly keep that before me. I can fall. I can sin. I can turn and walk with Jesus no more. Because many men just like me have turned and walked with Jesus no more. Awareness that this can happen to me will keep me from falling. Examine myself. Examine my own heart to see if I've got some symptoms of unbelief and get rid of them before these symptoms become evident to other brethren and before these symptoms finally destroy my life, my spiritual life, where I have no desire to walk with Jesus anymore. And I just go back into the world. So I think, brethren, we need to give attention to these things. It is my prayer that none of us here tonight that we'll never turn from Jesus and walk with him no more. But we need to recognize that's a possibility for all of us. And only by diligence can we stay in the straight and narrow. Now we've got a meeting coming up with Brother L.A. Stopher. We need to recognize the great responsibility that rests upon us. And we need to all examine our hearts and see whether or not we have let up in our efforts and in our responsibility. Do we have some symptoms of falling away? If we do, let's get rid of them. Let's determine that we're going to do better in the future than we have in the past. We're going to gird up our loins and as I say, get rid of any evil heart of unbelief that we might have that's setting in. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, you need to be one. If you're here and you have now heard the gospel and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, confess your Lord, we'd be glad to assist you in baptism for the remission of sins. If you're here and an erring child, won't you come as we're standing, as we sing.